Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, Jesus Christ is referring to himself when he says, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not his head." And he refers to himself as the Son of Man. Truly in the Bible, he is both the Son of Man and the Son of God. The question is, are these titles ambiguous? Are they confusing? Do they create doubt as to his true identity? Or do these designations have enough significance to warrant the use of both of them in the Bible? I mean, should he be called the Son of Man? Should he be called the Son of God? Is there something significant about that? Well, when you look in the Bible and you look up the phrase Son of Man, you look in the Bible and you look up the phrase Son of God, you know, you find some very interesting things. So I'll just walk you through the study that I did, and you would find the same thing if you did it yourself. Son of Man is found several times in the Bible. For instance, in the Old Testament, in Numbers chapter 23, in Numbers chapter 23, in verse 19, the Bible says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall not he do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall not he make it good?" Now, in the case here of the reference to man and Son of Man in the same verse, this is not denying later that Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. Here, the reference that is being given, or in the prophecy by Balaam, is that God is not like you and me. He's not a man, or he's not the Son of Man. And therefore, he doesn't lie, and he doesn't have the need to repent, not of this promise that he made to Israel. So Son of Man here simply means a descendant, listen, a descendant of another man. That kind of man would be prone to lie, or that kind of man would be prone to repent. So there, Son of Man is just a reference to men in general. Many places in the Bible where you find this. Job chapter 25. Job chapter 25, and look at verse 6. Job 25, 6. How much less man, that is a worm, and the Son of Man, which is a worm. See the connection of the two? Man in Son of Man in the same verse? That is an oft-repeated use of man and Son of Man in the Old Testament. Many other places where the word man and the phrase Son of Man occur together are similar to Job 25:6. We'll give you one more, Psalm 8:4. Psalm 8:4. "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" There's the reference to man. "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visitest him?" Always when you see that, it's just a reference to men in general, except in the one place that I found, could be others, but in Psalm 80, Psalm 80 and verse 17, it's a reference to Jesus Christ. Psalm 80, verse 17, "Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself." And these are references right there, to reference, a prophetic reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, who does show up as a man. So there we see Son of Man, often in the Old Testament for sure, refers to men in general. Son of Man, that reference also is used as a designation for Ezekiel. It's amazing how many times Ezekiel is called Son of Man. I'll give you one of the references, and you can look up all the other ones if you would like. Ezekiel chapter 2, look at verse 1. He said unto me, this is the Lord, he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. Now, Ezekiel had just seen the appearance of the Lord on his throne over this these cherubs and over this these wheels and these eyes and all of that. In all of the other references in Ezekiel, as the Son of Man, like used here, he said unto me, Son of Man, stand upon thy feet. And he's addressing him, capital S, Son of Man. You know what? Those references connect Ezekiel to prophecy. Listen, particularly the prophecies concerning the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I know you don't really read this about other prophets, but you do about Ezekiel. But Ezekiel's the one that has all these visions of the terrible things that happen in the tribulation and all these visions of God showing up like you're going to see him at the second coming. Now turn to Matthew chapter 24, and we'll just look at a few of the references to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and notice the designation is the same, Son of Man. Matthew chapter 24, look at verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew chapter 24, verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Again, the reference to the Son of Man. Verse 37. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Another reference, Matthew 27, verse 44, Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And you'll see it again in other references. I've got Matthew 26, 64 marked in the notes, but there are others, and they all have to do with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Ezekiel is particularly referred to as the Son of Man here because of all of those connections to Jesus. Now, there are a couple of more references. Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, we see this reference to the Son of Man, and again, it's going to have to do with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you read, you see in Daniel chapter 7, the thrones are cast down in verse 9. A fiery stream is issued and came forth in verse 10, matching 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man come with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. That's a reference to Jesus Christ. Same thing in Daniel chapter 8 and verse 17. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, Understand, O Son of Man, speaking to Daniel, calling him, O Son of Man, really just as a descendant of men. But watch what he says, For at the time of the end shall be the vision. It's referring to something that's going to happen again, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, Son of Man is a reference to men in general, but then secondly, and very importantly, a reference to Ezekiel in connection with the second coming, and once to Daniel in connection with the time of the end. And then, for the purposes of our study, we find Son of Man as a reference to Jesus Christ. Now listen, the Jewish Messiah. Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah. Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, when Jesus Christ referred to himself as the Son of Man, that's the way he commonly referred to himself. You see, in the Bible, the phrase Son of Man is used 83 times in the New Testament, and 80 of those times you find the phrase Son of Man in the Gospels, and they're always a reference to Jesus Christ. Now, you also find Son of Man one time in Acts chapter 7, verse 56, and two times in the book of Revelation, once in Revelation 1:13, once in Revelation 14, 14. Now, what are these? Well, let's look at them. In Acts chapter 7, verse 56, this is Stephen after he has preached that great sermon. He looks up, and you know what he sees? He sees Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 7, verse 56, he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Well, now wait a minute. You've read the Bible, presumably. You've certainly heard what I'm going to tell you, that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God. But when Stephen saw him, he was standing at the right hand of God. Clearly, Jesus was ready to return. You say, why then? He would have if Israel had accepted the preaching of Stephen, and if Israel would have accepted Jesus Christ as their Messiah, but they turned him down. They stoned Stephen. Take a seat. We're going to the Gentiles. That's right. And in Acts chapter 8, you see this great, great problem with the Jews being scattered who were saved. Acts chapter 9, Saul gets saved. Acts chapter 10, Gentiles. So that's what's going on. Son of Man is clearly a reference to Jesus Christ as the Messiah of Israel. Now, the references in Revelation are obviously, and you can go look them up, references to the time of the end and the impending return of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, you see him on a cloud in Revelation 14, 14. So this designation, Son of Man, in reference to Jesus Christ, is a Jewish connotation and relates Jesus to Abraham and David by natural descent. And Jews need to know that. Matthew 1:1. I mean, after all, salvation is of the Jews. Jesus said, I have not come but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Matthew 1:1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Absolutely vitally important to the relationship that Jesus Christ has with Israel as their Messiah. Now notice, when Jesus Christ is being questioned by the Pharisees, the Herodians and the Sadducees, before his crucifixion, when they're trying to get a sound bite, like they're doing with the politicians today, to get a sound bite to use against him at his trial, you know what Jesus Christ, he fades every question perfectly by answering it straight up honestly, and they cannot entrap him. So then Jesus Christ asked them a question in Matthew 22, verse 41, and the question is stated in verse 42, saying, "What think you of Christ? Whose son is he? Whose son is he?" Now he's asking Jewish Pharisees who don't even believe him. "Whose son is Christ?" They say unto him, "The son of David." Jesus Christ has to be the Son of Man to have an earthly descent that comes from Abraham and David in order to be identified as the Jewish Messiah, as Christ, the Son of the living God. There you go. That's the Son of Man. Now, he's also referred to in the Bible as the Son of God. Son of God. And it would surprise you, I believe, to find where you see him first referred to as the Son of God. Son of God refers to Jesus Christ as seen by Nebuchadnezzar. Turn to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. And look at verse 25. Daniel chapter 3, verse 25. I'm going right to the heart of the matter. Certainly you know about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the burning fiery furnace. So he answered and said, this is Nebuchadnezzar speaking, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." You know what? Nebuchadnezzar saw a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ in the fiery furnace. You say, what does that mean, pre-incarnate? It means before Jesus Christ was born in the flesh. a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ in the fiery furnace. You say, well, how would he have known about him? From Daniel? Of course, from Daniel. You know, Daniel is the great interpreter of dreams by God's grace. He's also the man of visions. And after all, you know, he's also a great man of Scripture. And by this time, look at Psalm 2. Look at Psalm 2. There is already a prophecy about God having a son. Psalm 2, verse 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Psalm 2, 7. You say, well, that's stretching a little bit. Not really. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 30. You'd be surprised to know that, you know, but Jesus Christ, when he was in the earth, he said, I thank thee, O God, that thou hast not, thank thee, O Father, that thou hast not revealed this unto the wise and prudent, but unto babes. So in Proverbs chapter 30, you've got a prophecy here written by Agur. And you know what he says? I'm brutish. I'm more brutish than any man. I have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. And then look at these questions he asks in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Now that is a really powerful question from somebody coming from somebody who says, I'm more brutish than any man. I neither learn wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? He knew that there was somebody in control of the universe. Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? He knew there was a creator. He knew it. Watch this. What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Now, I'm telling you something. If that old guy right there who said, I don't have any wisdom, I didn't learn the knowledge of the holy, just a brutish man, could have that revealed to him by God Almighty, don't you know with Nebuchadnezzar being in the constant counsel of Daniel would know when he saw the Son of God that he was the Son of God? Of course. The Son of God refers to Jesus Christ as seen by Nebuchadnezzar, but he also refers to Jesus Christ as prophesied by Gabriel when Gabriel comes to reveal to Mary that she is going to have a baby as a virgin. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 35, Gabriel, verse 26, comes to give Mary the prophecy. And look at verse 35. Mary, in verse 34, is concerned how this baby is going to be born. She said, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She's a virgin. Verse 35, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So Gabriel confessed that Mary's firstborn son would be the Son of God. Why? Because he is the descendant of God Almighty, as God would be his father, literally. You know, the interesting thing, the Pharisees didn't pick up on this, but the devils did. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 and 6, you know, the devil knew, when he sees Jesus Christ out there in the wilderness, been fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he comes up to him and he says in Matthew 4, 3, if thou be the Son of God... He knew, command that these stones be made bread. Verse 6, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. He knew. He knew. Look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 29. He absolutely knew, and they knew, those devils knew exactly who he was. In Matthew 8, 29, this is just one place where you see it written. There are other places in the New Testament. These devils cry out, and these men that are possessed, and when they cry out, they say this, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? So Son of God refers to Jesus Christ as seen by Nebuchadnezzar, as prophesied by Gabriel, as known by devils, and also as believed by the disciples and others. You know, in Matthew chapter 14, by that time, the disciples that are with the Lord Jesus Christ still trying to figure out who this man is. Well, when he rescues Peter and quiets the terrible storm that they're in, and the wind ceases, The disciples say in Matthew chapter 14, verse 33, "Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God." I mean, even the centurion and some of those others that were there at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, when they saw all the stuff that happened concerning his death and the earth quaking and all that other stuff, the Bible says in Matthew 27:54, when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." You see, that designation, the Son of God, it is a designation or a confession by all of these that Jesus Christ is not just some earthly being, but he is a literal descendant of God Almighty. The devils knew it. Gabriel knew it and prophesied it. Nebuchadnezzar knew it and saw him. The disciples believed it, and so did the centurion and some of the other ones that are there with him at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, even Jesus Christ himself professed that he was the Son of God. Now, not very often. Most commonly, he refers to himself as the Son of Man because he's dealing with Jews and they're struggling with the fact that he's the Messiah. You know, he was already accused by the Pharisees of being a devil, so he didn't just want to come out being the Son of God all the time where these guys are confused about who he really is. He is the Messiah. But he did not deny that he was the Son of God, but in cases, professed that he was the Son of God. Look in John chapter 9. John chapter 9 is where he heals that blind man that is born blind from his birth. And in John chapter 9 and verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, watch it, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And the blind man answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." Jesus Christ revealed himself to that blind man as the Son of God. Look in John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, he's talking to the Pharisees. And in John chapter 5, verse 17, he says, "My Father worketh hereto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Right there, when he says, "My Father worketh hereto, and I work," he is professing that he is the Son of God. One more time, John chapter 10, look at verse 36. He's raising a question. He says this, listen, "Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God?" But he did say it. He did say it, and then he's questioning them whether they should blaspheme him because he said it. Professed by Jesus Christ. Son of God refers to Jesus Christ also as, and this is very important, Son of God refers to Jesus as revealed to the church. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar saw him, prophesied by Gabriel, known by the devils, believed by the disciples, professed by Jesus, but this is very important for you and me. He is revealed to the church as the Son of God. We'll look at one reference. You just read Paul's writings, and everywhere that he refers to Jesus Christ, when he's talking to him about being a son, he always refers to him as the Son of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 3, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, there's your Son of Man, and, verse 4, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So when Jesus rose from the dead, it was declared that, hey, this is the Son of God. Look what he did. So Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 show the humanity and the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know something? When you read Paul's writings, Paul never referred to Jesus as the Son of Man. You know why? Because the Son of Man is a Jewish designation, and Son of God is a designation that ties him to the church. That's primarily Jesus' work with us. So let's draw out one more step. Son of Man is a Jewish designation and primarily concerns Jesus' work in the kingdom of heaven, the earthly, literal, visible kingdom over which he will rule and over which Israel will be the principal kingdom. The Son of God is a church age designation and primarily concerns Jesus' work in the kingdom of God, the kingdom you and I got into when we were born again. This is a kingdom that doesn't come with observation, but it is within you. So when Jesus Christ is called the Son of Man on one hand and then Son of God on another hand, there's no ambiguity here. Jesus is both the Son of Man and the Son of God, since he's a descendant of David and a descendant of God. You see, he's the only person who can fulfill 1 Timothy 2:5. In 1 Timothy 2:5, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He's the only one who can fulfill that role. Why? Because he's all man and all God. Now, one fellow said that if the Bible had simply called Jesus God, the Son, then it would have removed all doubt as to his deity. But you know something? The truth is that nothing would change. Because all who believe that Jesus is God believe that from the Bible the way that it's written. And all who don't believe that Jesus is God wouldn't believe it if it were spelled out for them any differently anyway. I mean, you can't make it any clearer than 1 John 5:20 and 1 Timothy 3:16. You can't. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. You can't make it any clearer than that. And if God did make it any clearer than that, you know what they would do? They would just revise the words to obscure his identity like they've done in the modern Bibles and like they did to 1 Timothy 3:16. This is Jesus Christ, 1 John 5:20 says. This is the true God and eternal life. You know what? He is God. And the thing you need to do is believe him, trust him, and receive him as your Savior. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.